Almighty God, whose most dear Son went not up to joy, but first he suffered pain and entered not into glory before he was crucified, mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty and ever-living God, in your tender love for the human race, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon him our nature and to suffer death upon the cross, giving us the example of his great humility. Mercifully grant that we may walk in the way of his suffering and also share in his resurrection through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning, he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them comfort me. It is the Lord God who helps me, who will declare my guilty. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Reading from Psalms is 31, 9 through 16. Let us read by half verse. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble.
My eye is consumed with sorrow, and also my throat and my belly.
For my life is wasted with grief, and my years with sighing.
My strength fails me because of affliction, and my bones are consumed.
I will become a reproach to all my enemies and even to my neighbors, a dismay to those of my acquaintance.
When they see me in the street, they avoid me.
I am forgotten like a dead man, out of mind.
I am as useless as a broken pot.
For I have heard the whispering of the crowd. Fear is all around.
They put their heads together against me. They plot to take my life.
But as for me, I have trusted in you, O Lord.
I have said, you are my God.
My times are in your hands.
Rescue me from the hands of my enemies and from those who persecute me.
Make your face to shine upon your servant.
And in your loving kindness, save me.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him, and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Mark.
As soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
He answered him,
"You say so."
And the chief priest accused him of many things. Pilate asked him again,
"Have you no answer? See how many charges they bring against you."
But Jesus made no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the festival, he used to release a prisoner for them, anyone for whom they ask. Now a man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection. Crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do them according to his custom. And he answered them,
"Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?"
For he realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priest had handed him over. The chief priest stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate spoke to them again,
"Then what do you wish me to do with the man you call the king of the Jews?"
They shouted back,
"Crucify him."
Pilate asked them,
"Why, what evil has he done?"
They shouted all the more,
"Crucify him." Crucify
him. So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas, and for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. And the soldiers led him into the courtyard of the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters. They called together the whole cohort, and they clothed him in a purple cloak, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him, and they began saluting him.
"Hail, King of the Jews."
They struck his head with a reed, spat upon him, and knelt down in homage to him. After mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. And they led him out to crucify him. They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. And they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him, divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each would take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. Inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two bandits, one on the right and one on the left. Those who passed by deriled him, shaking their heads and saying,
"You who would destroy the temple
and build it
in 3 days.
3 days, save yourself.
You come down from the cross."
In the same way, the chief priests among the scribes were also mocking him among themselves and saying,
"He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now so that we may see and believe."
Those who were crucified with him also taunted him. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice,
"Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani,"
which means,
my God, why have you forsaken me?"
Some of the bystanders heard it. They said,
"Listen.
Listen, he's calling for Elijah.
He's calling for Elijah."
And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying,
"Wait, wait.
Let's see whether Elijah will come to take him down."
Jesus gave out a loud cry and breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now, when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said,
"Truly, this man was God's son."
There were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph, and Salome. These used to follow him and provided for him when he was in Galilee. And there were many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. When evening had come, and since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God, he went boldly to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate wondered if he were already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he had been dead for some time. When he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the body to Joseph. Joseph bought a linen cloth, and taking down the body, wrapped it in the linen cloth, and laid it in a tomb that had been hewed out from the rock. He then rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Joseph, saw where the body was laid.
When I was starting to prepare for this sermon, I did something I'd never done before. I went through that reading from Isaiah. And from the psalm as well. I didn't look at the epistle in this way, but what I did was sorted out what Isaiah had to say of himself and what he had to say about or that was spoken by God. And the same thing with the psalm. And then I sort of took that tack with this shorter version of the Passion as well. I don't know that I mentioned that in what I'm about to say to you, but it was an interesting exercise, one that was enlightening about the way those characters presented themselves and their understanding of God. Well, in light of the reflection by Isaiah and the poet, the psalmist, Jesus, the man of few words in this truncated version of Mark's telling of the Passion, seems to be saying to Pilate, "Let's just let this be what it has to be. You say I'm the king of the Jews? Fine. Nothing more about that." His next speech is from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me?" Before he cries out and breathes his last. He doesn't make any speeches about God's mercy or about anything else. He breathes his last, leaving any further action to God, even though his pain and grief are apparent. There is no emotional or moral shortcut for Jesus here, no knowing smile nor even grimace on his crucified face. What is real is the pain that overwhelms all else. Mark captures the utter humanity of Jesus in a way not found in Matthew or Luke. Jesus is the embodiment of the blameless human of Isaiah and the psalmist's depiction of one who has suffered much, including mockery and attempts to shame him, ostracism, and abuse. Jesus' honest expression of feelings of isolation and abandonment make clear his solidarity with both Isaiah and the psalmist, and with every human who has been dealt with unfairly, which is to say, every one of us. It strikes me that alongside Jesus' sparse speech and action here, in Mark's version, everyone and everything else in the Passion serves as background and context. Pilate tries desperately to stand up to the irrational and violent crowd, citing lack of evidence and appealing to some sense of justice. In the end, though, his overriding concern is keeping his job and maybe his head. The emperor didn't much go for trouble on the home front, even in the far-flung parts of the empire. Once Pilate has capitulated to the crowd's demands, his in for a penny, in for a pound attitude shows, and he orders flogging and allows humiliation as well as the crucifixion itself. The chief priests are themselves walking, talking advertisements for the lure of wealth and power, prodding the hoi polloi to violent speech and action. And it works. The crowds manifest the tendency among humans to be swayed by political rhetoric, to take the easy path of allowing others to make decisions for them, looking only into the faces in the same crowd for affirmation and encouragement. And they get plenty of that. The Passion is a portrait of humanity, as well as the story of the self-sacrificing God-man at the center of our faith. Mark's is the oldest and considered to be the most historically reliable of the four Gospels. In his version, neither of the men crucified alongside Jesus plead for mercy or proclaim him to be coming into a divine kingdom. All of this points to accurate and unseemly facets of humanity. But that humanity is reflected not only in the angry mob and those who goad them to action, but also in kindnesses and courage shown by other characters. Simon helped carry Jesus' cross, well, a mixed kindness to be sure. The centurion proclaimed Jesus the Son of God. Joseph of Arimathea risked rejection or worse by others in the Sanhedrin in offering his own tomb for Jesus' burial. Most of all, there were the women, Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, Salome, and those others who silently stand watch and grieve for their own courageous, humble, and loving teacher and leader. That is the scene on this day and in these readings, which launch us into the events of what we now know as Holy Week. The word holy, by the way, comes to us from German, Saxon, and Old English, the root meaning whole, as in the whole of humanity, who were present on these momentous days in the history of Jesus and our faith. And God, through Jesus, blessed them all of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
I ask your prayers for God's people throughout the world, for our presiding Bishop Michael, for our bishops Andy, Jeff, Hector, and Kay, for our priest Michael, for our missionary Jeannie, for this gathering, and for all ministers and people. Pray for the church. I ask your prayers for peace, for goodwill among nations, and for the well-being of all people. Pray for justice and peace. I ask your prayers for the poor, the sick, the hungry, the oppressed, and those in prison. Pray for those in any need of trouble. I ask your prayers for all who seek God or a deeper knowledge of Him. Pray that they may find and be found by Him, especially Victoria. I ask your prayers for the departed, especially Andy Kale, Mae Gibson, Everett Holbrook, and all who have died from the coronavirus, and pray for all who mourn their passing. Pray for those who have died, all the husbands of people who are at this table. I ask your prayers for John, Nancy, Morgan, David, Judy, Bob, Karen, Leslie, Cheryl, Bobby, Marianne, Winifred, Audie, Alan, James, Victoria, Christian, Patrick, Dale, Donna, June, Molly, George, Joe, Cecile, Talia, Kenyon, Sarah, Lynn, Carol, Tyler, Merrill, Charisse, Miranda, Caitlin, Diane, Jill, Melissa, women in the Hutto facility, Anne, Jenny, Lindsay, Ellie, Tom, Shelley, Carol, Gail, Roshonda, Carolyn, Virginia, Dallas, Charles, Patty, Alice, Linda, Leah, Greg, Jackie, Donald, RG, Robin, Barbara, Mary, Brooks, Ed, DeGuerre family, William, Bailey family, Sid and his family, Betty, Bonnie and Ed, Sherry, Norman, Joe, and Haas.
Nancy.
I ask your prayers for all who serve in the military, especially Brian, Eric, James, Trevor, Kevin, Jonathan, Jared, Chris, Brian, John Wesley, Witt, all in harm's way. I ask your prayers for all who are traveling this week. I ask your prayers of thanksgiving for the anniversary of Justin and Victoria Bailey, and the birthdays of Andrew Bailey, Catherine Drake, Jim Weathers, Kathleen Broad, Margaret Thomas, and Nancy Petty. I invite your prayers of thanksgiving at this time.
I ask you to pray not only for goodwill among nations, but for goodwill and peace and the well-being of all people in our own nation, as well as in the rest of the world.
Praise God for those in every generation in whom Christ has been honored. Pray that they may have grace to glorify Christ in our own day. Heavenly Father, you have promised to hear what we ask in the name of your Son. Accept and fulfill our petitions. We pray not as we ask in our ignorance, nor as we deserve in our sinfulness, but as you know and love us in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ hath taught us to pray, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please unmute yourselves, because I can't do it for you. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Peace, everybody.
Peace,
everybody.
Peace to all.
Who is that?
Almighty God, we pray you graciously to behold this your family for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed and given into the hands of sinners and to suffer death upon the cross, who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen. Muted again, so I can tell you're singing.